Number 39 of our song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good crowd that we got this morning. We thank you for Brother Goforth that's coming down here to speak for us. Thank you for every blessing that you've given this week. And may everything we do in this service be according to thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthdays. No birthdays. Oh.
I have a card for Rose Mary Webb that lives back the lane that hadn't been here. She's having knee trouble, and I've got a card for her. And as a church, we sent flyers to the funeral home. We had a hard time finding them, but they did show up. And we give Brother Lee a gift card. But I was thinking we need to think as a group what we need here at the church, or something that we could do to in remembering of him. I even thought his name on the, Lisa suggested his name on the pavilion because he always loved that.
That'd be good.
Or something, but kind of think of something that you think that the church could use, or that possibly we needed, and we could do that and do more than what we did.
I like that idea. I think a black on the pavilion is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. 224, and I survey the wondrous cross. Jesus died on the cross.
Survey the wondrous cross. God is
Father, we want to thank you for this day and having the health and ability to be here in this church. We realize that we've been through some terrible weeks with Brother Lee, but now he is home with you, and that's something he planned his whole life to do. And rather than seeing him lay sick and hurting, I am glad for him to be with you. And Lord, we want to thank you for everything that you provide for us, including salvation, forgiveness, because we live in such a sinful world. And you provide us a way to have that removed from our past if we just go by your word. And the Bible is the main thing that we need to follow. And we partake of these emblems, which represents Jesus' blood and body, for us to have that opportunity. And we lift these emblems in recognition of that day. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've given us. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
be 524 calories, same thing, first and last.
Heavenly Father, what a beautiful morning that we have here together in your house. We thank you so much for bringing us together. I especially just thankful that you've brought me to a place I've never been before. And yet I feel like I've been here my whole life. And so I just thank you for that. Bless the service as it continues. Bless all those that Brother Lee touched. I can see that. Didn't get the privilege to meet him, but I felt again like I've known him. So I thank you again for this morning. And may your presence be felt in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Amen. Amen.
While Ethan's getting ready, I just know this little church is smiling down this morning.
Yeah.
Because of all the little ones that you're with us. It's good to see him in here, I know that.
And mine's got a loud voice back there, so. it's beautiful. That's right. Well, good morning. So far, all you need to know about me is I'm a son of the Father and a brother of Jesus Christ. So that's the bottom line and what's most important. I'm a little unorthodox, so I would love, if y'all would be willing, a show of hands who also claims Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Awesome. Okay, so I know I handed out a test. all that is hopefully you can either follow along, you can answer as you're going, you can take it home, you can reflect on it. This is just how the last 15 years have really grown closer to the Lord. This is the best way that I convey whatever it is that He has for me. So that's for you. It may be this morning that it hits you. It may be later this week, maybe years from now. Who knows? But I pray the Lord blesses you with that. We're going to start in 1 Peter 2, because as the title there says, to whom do you belong? It seems timely. I didn't get to meet Brother Lee, but it sure seems timely in these most interesting days. So I'm going to read for us verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the One who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received it. So who is this referring to? Well, it talks about a chosen race. It talks about a royal priesthood. That's all of us here this morning that raised our hand and took claim to that. And what is overall our directive and message? Well, as priests, if we go back in the Old Testament, that was to take care of the temple, which we all know and we'll get to later. The temple is right here, right now. So we're going to be moving into that. And so how are we to be living within this role? We're going to go back. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to be flipping a lot so you can keep up. But we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is one of my favorite passages, the Shema. And it gives a little bit of a charge, at least in the direction I felt the Lord was leading as far as what our role looks like. So chapter 6, we're going to read 1 through 9. I may stop in between because if something prompts, I'm going to start talking. But this is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you so that you may follow them in the land that you are about to enter and possess. So here, just a little history. This is Moses telling the people as they're about to go into the land. Okay, so for us, what land would that be? Well, that'd be the kingdom of heaven. That's where Brother Lee is this morning. I mean, he had a homecoming and a half. That's where we're headed. So in a sense, just take all these directives so that we may enter into that land one of these days when He calls us home. And do this that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all His statutes and commands I am going to give you, your son and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them so that you may prosper and multiply greatly because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That's very important that the Lord, Jesus Christ, His Spirit, they are all unified. There's no division. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So that looks like for us that we can't have any division amongst ourselves either. In our mind, heart, body. It all has got to be focused on the right things. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. So for me, in my house, as Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. So I've got four little ones, range from 13 down to 7 months. How do I apply that for me. So this is, you all think on this for yourselves, but for me, when we were moving into our house, we live in Wilmore, Kentucky. It's about 20 minutes or so from here. We went in and we had a lot of work to do, but I felt a real urge to take multiple scriptures and put them on every doorpost and every threshold that was in my home. And part of that was mostly for me, because as the head of the house, I've got to make sure that the blood covering is there. If you look back in Exodus when he asked, sacrifice the lamb, put the blood covering, and I will pass over. I wanted that same covering until they can come of age and make for that choice themselves, that I'm going to do the best that I can to emulate that which the Father's called me to do. And so for me, that's one way that I've applied this there, because it is really hard, as busy as we are, repeat when you sit, when you lie, when you wake, when you're on the road. I mean, that's all the time. And that's very difficult to do. I mean, we're all very busy people. And the thing that I have found over and over as I've gotten older, when you're driving to work, you can talk in the car. You don't have to turn the radio on. Sometimes the song comes on and that's worship, but other times it's just, hey, Lord, what would you have me do today? Let someone cross my path and let me not miss. And then teaching that to our children is so important, because you get generation after generation after generation after generation. So Brother Lee was 96, right? That's a lot of generations of sharing Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful testimony, and a powerful one at that. The other key here is it says obeying all. So it's not an option. Now that's difficult, because we can't do that. We're fallen people. So we're gonna touch on that here in just a little bit. He's given us an advocate that helps us go through a whole lot of things. But the goal of our life should be to follow completely. And so what do we do with it? I think we just live it out in our day-to-day. Wherever you may work, I say this to people all the time. I've been called to Nicholasville, Kentucky. I was born in Knoxville. We landed in Nicholasville. And I work at a paint store. I've been there 16 years. And it's amazing the intimacy that you get within a home or making home decisions, how often it turns into, do you know Jesus Christ? Or they ask a question and there's just a spirit of connection there. And I always knew I wanted to be able to help people. Never would have thought in a paint store, but it's been the greatest thing ever. But we oftentimes will want to find our purpose. And I don't know about you all, but I didn't choose where I was born. I didn't choose where I ended up. And so in a way, he's called me here until he calls me somewhere else. And so it's a wonderful thing when that kind of lines up and that hits. So with all that being said, we're going to now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul's going to give a little charge for us faithful servants and being faithful managers. So 1 Corinthians 4, we're going to go 1 through 5. A person should think of us in this way as servants of Christ and managers of the mysteries of God. In this regard, it is required that managers be found faithful. It is of little importance to me that I should be judged by you or any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I am not conscious of anything against myself, but I am not justified by this. It is the Lord who judges me. So how should we be known? First and foremost, he lists servant of Christ. So what's a servant? That means you have a master. And what do you do? Well, some of the things the master wants? No, it's usually all of the things the master wants, or you might have a new master. And so with that role, how do we take that seriously? So if we're doing whatever we may be doing, if he calls us, hey, you need to do this. I know in our paint shop, there's oftentimes, yes, it's important we sell paint and flooring, but if somebody wants to know about Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if we sell a gallon of paint all day. That's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, he'll provide. And putting that trust into that is a huge, it's a test, but it's a huge testament to his grace and his deliverance. It also says we are to be managers of the mysteries of God, which we could probably spend a lifetime on digging into what does that look like and what does that mean. But the one thing that jumped out to me with that is John 14:6, which some of you may know, some of you not. That's Jesus Christ says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the greatest mystery. If it's been revealed to you, it's no longer a mystery. You have to hold it. You have to make it your own. He's made you his own, so what are you going to do with that he's given you? And when those things happen, when we have those conversations, he says, don't let anybody in a human court judge you or anybody else. It's easy to let the peer pressures and the weight of this world affect how we deliver or how we share. We need to just share. This world's in a weird place. It's in a struggle. It's scripturally. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. He's coming soon, it feels like, for sure. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible this last few years is Hebrews 9:28, and he says he's going to return for those of us that are waiting for him. And it's a deep meaning of wait. I mean, it's ones that are living with that intentionality and that purpose of, I'm ready for you, but until you come, I'm going to keep serving. And so focusing on that, not letting the weight of others affect, and knowing that I don't have anything to do with if they receive it or not. It takes the stress away. But I do have something to do with it if I don't share it. I have to share. And so if I don't share, the burden's on me. If I do share, joy, peace, everything's good in the morning. And hopefully that gets water, because I don't save, none of us do. None of us save anybody, only he does. And moving into that, the example that I really came across that made the most sense to me is Matthew 16, when Jesus and Peter are having a little conversation. They're up on the mountain. As they look over the valley of the Caesarea Philippi, in an area where, I mean, we talk about our world being weird. It's been strange a long time. There's a lot of terrible things going on down below. And I'm going to read 13 through 20. But Jesus then came to that region and he asked the disciples, "Who do the people," and he pointed down, "say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptizer, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And this right here, this is the ultimate question for all of us, to whom do you belong? "But you, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter, he's always the one that answers. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Now here what he's basically addressing is, no amount of work, study, devotion, education, none of that was going to reveal who Jesus Christ was to him in that moment. The Father reached down and said, "Peter, I have a message for you, and I have a truth to share with you." And Jesus acknowledged it. And on the rock, meaning on that message that Jesus is who he said he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah. That's what this all is going to be built on. And as he continues on, he said that's what he, being Jesus, is going to build the church on. That's what's going to bring us all together. Even like little Hickman this morning, he's brought us here. And he's going to be the one that leads us forward. And because he revealed it, and John 14:6, as I quoted earlier, he's the only way. Yes, we have to follow all the statutes he's delivered and he's given to us, but we can't possibly do that without his guidance, without his deliverance, without his truth being revealed to us. So, as heirs and priests that we've come under the understanding this morning, how do we enter his presence while we are still sinners? Because we're all fallen, we're all people. I think of Brother Lee this morning. We're going to flip to Zechariah, which is one of my favorite books. And it's not a book that probably gets flipped to a lot, but I was trying to think of an example of a priest or a shepherd that is brought before the Lord. And the high priest Joshua, in chapter 3 of Zechariah, is brought before three individuals. And it's one of the most powerful stories, I think, in all of Scripture. But he showed me the high priest Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord with Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. Now, I can't help but think of putting myself in this position. And any of us that are from 1 Peter, we're all priests. Put yourself in this spot. So, Ethan standing before the angel of the Lord. Satan, all he does is accuse. That's all he does. He's great at it. Oftentimes, he'll even share a little bit of truth. That's why it stings so bad. And he's accusing this high priest Joshua, who is in no doubt in the appropriate priestly garments, because he's the high priest. This would have been his role. So he's coming before the Holy of Holies, and Satan's standing there, and he's like, this guy's filthy. The Lord said, "Silence. May the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Isn't this man the one that I snatched from the fire?" He snatched me. He snatched each one of you if you've taken that on that blood of Christ on you. He says, "No, Satan, Ethan's mine." Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel of the Lord spoke to those standing there, take off those filthy garments. So he had done a lifetime of lesson. He was a Levite. He was a high priest. He'd been chosen. He had all the things. He was obeying, doing all the stuff. And yet still, he was filthy. So what must happen? Well, the angel of the Lord steps forward and says, take those clothes off. And see that I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with the proper robes. Then I said, let him put a clean turban on his head. So a clean turban was placed on his head, and they clothed him in the garments while the angel of the Lord was standing. So before we can properly obey, again, this is a picture of something. This is Jesus Christ. He will make us ready to go before the Father. And then the charge comes. The angel of the Lord said to Joshua, this is what the Lord of armies says to Ethan. If you walk in my ways and keep my mandates, you will both rule in my house and take care of my courts, and I will also grant you access to stand among those here. Well, we know for sure the one listed was the Father, and there's an angel of the Lord, so we know the Son can't be too far away. So if you come up underneath and you're given that picture, now you're properly clothed. So if you will allow me, I'm going to describe in the Old Testament you have the temple. So now we have our proper attire. As a high priest, your job was to go before the Holy of Holies and atone for the sins of the people. But you had to be properly clothed. So now Joshua is properly clothed. So he enters the temple. He enters the gates. And in the front of him is the offering table. It's a burnt offering. It would burn nonstop because you had to constantly put down whatever sin was needed to be covered. And so you did that. Once that was complete, you went around and there was a basin of water. And in that basin of water is where you would wash your hands. And he was clean. I'm ready. Now you would enter into, you'd come through a couple of double doors. Now you've entered the inner chamber. And this is where you have the angel of the Lord for Zechariah stood. And he took atonement. On your right side would be the bread of the table of the presence, which Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And on the left was the lamp stand that never went out. He's always light, but also the Spirit has always been a picture of oil. So here you have Jesus and the Spirit standing in between, and you're in between. And we're waiting for instruction from the one that sits behind the veil. Now we're blessed now. In this day, the veil's not there anymore. We have full access because Jesus Christ tore that veil. But it's amazing that the Israelites put that veil right back up. And how often we do the same thing. We don't think, oh, I can't, you know, whoa, I can't. Well, here's a perfect example. He will make you prepped. If you're a willing vessel, he'll bring you to where you need to be. And so here we are, we stand in 1 Corinthians 3. It says, now don't you know that the temple is your body and the Spirit dwells within? And so with that, I want to read over this body, Little Hickman, a prayer that Solomon gave for the temple, because y'all are going through a transition. And the Lord has a great thing planned. He really does. He never forsakes those that are His. But if you would, if you'll close your eyes and just listen to this, I don't know, and if you want to read it through the week, it's a powerful picture. Knowing that the temple is here, you've been prepped, you've been readied. We've all walked up. Ethan's here, Todd's here, Cole Barnes. You know, anybody that comes before him, if you're in the right vessel and you're in the right space, he will put the proper clothes on, and then there's a charge that says, if you walk in my ways, you will stand amongst us here. And so in 1 Kings chapter 8. And just as Solomon did, I'm going to stand before and I'm going to have my hands held high over top of you all. And he said these words, Lord God of Israel, Lord God of Little Hickman, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, who keeps the gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you. With all their heart, you have kept what you promised to your servant. You spoke directly to him, and you fulfilled your promise by your power. As it is today, therefore, God of Israel, keep what you promised to your servant. You will never fail to have a man sit on the throne before me in Israel, if only your sons take care to walk before me, as you have walked before me. Now, Lord God of Israel, please confirm what you promised to your servant. But will God indeed live on earth? No, not even heaven and the highest heaven can contain you, much less this temple that is here. Listen to your servant's prayer in this petition, Lord my God, so that you may hear the cry and the prayer that your servant prays before you today, so that your eyes may watch over this temple, Little Hickman, night and day, toward the place where you said, my name will be there, and so that you may hear the prayer that your servant prays towards this place. Amen.
We hope you come back to be here for the time, and we thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to give them the permission to come. This is what, 320? Anybody that hasn't accepted our Lord Jesus as your Savior, do it before it's hard for life or you're too late.
Yes, I will. High King of Heaven, we come before you again this morning. We're just so thankful for this time that we could gather in your presence. We thank you for properly dressing us for your service. And we ask that you just touch each and every one of our hearts that are here today, and that we would draw closer and closer to you in these days. We thank you for the life and the service that Brother Lee had amongst this community. And we ask that you just charge within this small group here to affect everything that is within here and outside these walls. It all starts at home, and if we can start the ripple effect there, it's amazing what change can come. We thank you so much for just loving us, and we thank you for your Son and that he gave his life for us so that we can be with you one day all together worshiping there. Let us go out of these doors ready to serve you. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen.
Oh, how sweet.